Oh, I can scrub on the touch bar too. Ooh. Oh, that's fun. I'm going to play with that all the time.
You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path and go on to something new or unplanned here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We are the meal for your mind, giving you some interesting news and things we want to share with you here on this podcast. Thank you for joining us. It's been a wild week, I think. We got plenty to get to, a lot of news headlines. But before we get to the ones that do revolve around sports, entertainment, and odd news, we'd like to go over the personal ones that affect us. So, Mike, how you doing? How's it been since the last time I saw you?
I'm doing good. I'm swell.
Oh, you're swell, huh?
I'm swell, yeah.
Oh, not you're just, a swell guy just, over there.
Yes.
You swell person, you.
Okay.
Swell.
Oh, I didn't realize swell was going to draw so much ire.
I don't know.
You're just having fun.
I always imagine that's like something like you hear like an old timey 50s guy be like, oh, what? I'm swell. See?
What? Somebody saying they're swell or somebody saying like taking the piss out of somebody because they're swell?
Yeah, swell. I'll show you swell. Yeah, see?
Sure. Yeah. I don't quite follow, but I'll just agree.
Yeah. We're just in a minute, only a minute in this podcast. We're already going off the rails.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. So I'll try and steer us back onto the rails, talk a little bit about...
swell guy.
Yeah.
Come over here. I'll show you how swell
I'll
you
do
see?
A swell job of swerving back onto the road.
Oh, you think you're a swell over there. You think you're a smart swell over there. I'll show you.
Oh, my God.
There.
You're not going to stop, are you?
Go ahead.
I was like, he's just going to keep going. I want to see how long he can just keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I could have kept it up, but my throat
I know. I know. You could have kept it up all night long because you're weird like that.
I need to isolate that.
No, don't do that. So anyway, this week, I've had a busy week. First off,
this feels so good.
You know what feels good? Is finally using a brand new laptop. I got my second new laptop of the year. The first one didn't work out. I went crawling back to the Apple corporate mothership, and I got myself a new MacBook Pro.
Yep.
It's don't sound so excited, Rich. Calm down over there. No, it's fantastic. I love it.
It does look cool.
I'm full corporate shill mode right now, but it's been long overdue. I had my laptop for 9 years. I could barely run Chrome because it's such a RAM hog. And so I'm loving every second of the new laptop. It's great. Did a full, fresh start. I don't have any of the clutter from the old one. So it's lightning fast and it's got all the features I want. So I'm very happy about that. It's a pain, though, getting set up again on a new system. Getting all your applications and settings, everything just the way you like it.
You got to transfer your files, your apps,
It's been a long process. I've had both laptops open for like the past week, just like, all right, trying to think, are there any last files I'm missing or any, settings or applications that I need? I'm like very weird and anal like that because I don't want to leave anything behind, I don't want to, not that I can't go back and get it.
But yeah. It's
a hassle.
It sucks when you transfer and you forgot something that you need.
Yeah. So luckily, all the stuff being in the cloud helps with that a little bit for the most part. But the big thing that I want to talk about is I got a chance to go to this really cool thing that they do in the city. I went to Elfrith's Alley. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It is the, let me see if I can get this right, the single, oh my gosh, it is the longest continuously inhabited alley in the United States. So it was this alley built in the 1720s, and people have been living there since that time. And it's a historical site, so all the buildings are exactly as they were in the 1720s up through, I think they stopped constructing it in the 1830s. And because it's a protected historical site, you can't change anything with the buildings. So,
and where is this?
It's in Philly. It's on 2nd Street. It's like way, way down there, right near, I guess, 95 right there. And what they do is two times during the year, they open it up for tours and you can walk through the people's homes. Like, people are actively living there, but they open it up so you can walk through the homes and see, you know, the interior of these old buildings. And this past weekend,
People still live there.
People still live there. Yeah.
Huh.
It's really cool because you walk in and it's like the fireplaces and the wood floors are all like straight out of the 1750s, you know, and the door frames and the windows and everything and the walls and everything is as it was back then. But then they have like big high definition TVs in there because they're being actively lived in. But the really cool thing is that they did the whole alley in like Christmas decorations, and they had various little like fun things you could do throughout. Like, they had like hot toddies and hot apple cider, and they had carolers, and they did this. They had people dressed in period clothing, and they had somebody dressed as Paul Revere, and he would walk through the streets and like read this declaration about how there's our sister colony in Boston just dumped all the tea into the harbor. And near the end of the night, they had some British officers come and arrest Paul Revere. And it was so much fun because the crowd is getting into it. You know, they're, you know, boo King George, you know, give me liberty or give me death.
Yep. Did and, you chant?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Joining in with the Philly crowd there chanting, you know, down with King George and all that fun stuff. But it was really, really neat. It's just like this really like claustrophobic alley with like 1,000 people jammed into it, walking in and out of these houses. And if you can imagine like those old, like real narrow 3-4 story buildings, those row homes like sandwiched all together. It was really, really cool. So they do that twice a year. And I got to do that this past weekend, do all the Christmas themed tours and everything. It was really cool. The next one is in the spring. So, and I think they do like a beer garden in one of the little squares that are right there behind the houses in like the shared backyards. I don't even know how to describe it. It's weird. Like, you have to see it because the homes are so tightly packed together. They have these little tiny, like single person width passageways between the homes that open up into like shared courtyards or backyards that like connect to a whole bunch of different houses.
Wow.
Yeah, and they had stuff in those little courtyards for people to do, like free hot apple cider, which was perfect.
Yes,
for
I
the
like
cold
apple
weather,
cider.
Yeah. So yeah, that was really, really cool. So between that and getting the computer set up and my cousin's birthday parties, it was a busy week for me.
There you go.
So yeah, I've been busy, busy, busy. What have you been up to, Rich?
So on my end, last week was the Camp Out for Hunger.
You were busy too.
Yeah, it was definitely a chilly one. That Monday was one of the coldest starts we've ever had.
It was
to
brutal.
The Camp Out for Hunger. There was even snow.
Oh man!
Yeah, it was a rough start. But after that Monday, we got going, and the weather started to cooperate with us a little bit more. I got a little bit sick on Friday.
Oh.
Of course, it always happens. But luckily, all I needed was just bed rest after the Camp Out for Hunger ended. So I just downed a bottle of NyQuil and just went to sleep.
The whole bottle.
Yeah, pretty much. So luckily, you know, we got through it. We made it through. And at the end of it all, we hit 2.6 million pounds of food.
Damn.
And we've now officially become the largest food drive in the United States.
Well, congratulations. So, that's an awesome feat and such a great cause, too.
Yep. So there you go. The next time you hear people diss Philly or be like, Philly doesn't care about people, we have the largest food drive in the entire country. So how about you stomp on that? You know, take that in stock. So it was a great week for us at MMR and President Steve and Phil Abundance and everybody that takes part in that. And it's one of those events I love doing. It's one of those things. I'm exhausted at the end of the week, and I'm usually sick at the end of the week. But it's all worth it to help out with the Camp Out for Hunger. And yeah, it was just so momentous and so great to be a part of. So Congratulations to Preston Steve and MMR. It's now official. Largest food drive in the nation. That blows me away.
Well, you said 2.6 million pounds.
Yes.
That is so much food.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even imagine that. Like, just, you know, pick up your laptop. Laptops are like 4 to 6 pounds, you know? Think about how many pounds, 2.6 million.
Yep, a lot of pallets had to be used. A lot of
crazy.
A lot of trips with the 18-wheelers and stuff like that.
Do they know, like, how many meals that provides, or that's kind of hard to figure out?
I'm sure there's an actual number that you can do a calculation on.
Yeah.
The bottom line is
it's a lot of food.
Yeah, it's a monumental amount of food.
That's awesome. And around this time of year, that's absolutely so much, it's needed so much.
Yeah. So that was my past week. But then, you know, after all of that goodwill and me being sick for a little bit, I had to rest for a little bit. So I figured, what better time would it be than to catch up on Netflix and, of course, finally get to watching The Irishman on Netflix.
Oh.
And I'm glad I finally...
You had a free 17 hours to watch Scorsese's latest film.
3.5 hours, okay? Not that long.
Okay.
But I finally took the time, sat down, and enjoyed the movie from start to finish. And I gotta say, it's fantastic. And I've always been a Scorsese fan. I've always been a fan of De Niro. Always been a fan of Pacino. Always been a fan of Pesci. Always been a fan of these mobster movies.
I'm starting to think you're a little biased.
But no, I really did enjoy this movie. And even though it does seem like your traditional mobster movie with Scorsese and De Niro and the themes of you know, life in the mafia and everything, this movie seemed to be more practical, I felt like, than Goodfellas and Casino and Raging Bull and all that stuff. It really goes into the life that this guy leads, being a hitman for the mob. But analyzes, you know, some practical things, like how he actually, like tried to create hits on people.
Okay.
You know, how he actually tried to like work through the logic as the, like, you know, oh my gosh, like, okay, if I'm going to take this guy out, I got to do this. I pulled up a quick scene of him going through guns, which is just hilarious. It's practical, and you're just like, wow, I guess you do have to kind of go through these steps if you're in this profession.
Yeah, the things you don't realize that they have to think about.
Right. So here's a quick clip.
Now, for something like this, you're going to need two guns. The one you're going to use and a backup. You want something with more stopping power than a .22. You definitely don't want a silencer. You want to make a lot of noise to make the witnesses run away so they ain't going to be looking at you. But not the noise a .45 makes, because that makes too much noise, and a patrol car can hear it a few blocks away at least. The cops call a .32 a woman's gun because it's easier to handle, don't do the damage a .38 does, but, you know, it does enough.
So, yeah, it's like things like that. Like,
interesting
actually,
little breakdown, yeah.
Like, you have to go through, you know, a process of elimination to you know, go through the guns you need and the equipment you need and stuff like that. That's what this film does really well. Going in the practicality of actually being a hitman, but then the second element of it, which is really in the second half of the movie, really goes into the aftermath of, you know, being in this life of crime for your entire career.
Right.
I don't think it's too much of a spoiler because Sheeran, who Robert De Niro plays, lives to see the end of his full life. He makes it through the mafia and everything. And the last, like, half hour of the movie is kind of him just processing, like, was it all worth it? And I feel like that was really a message destined to his fan base, you know, because we kind of almost, for lack of a better word, glorify Goodfellas and Casino. And
no, you're absolutely right. There's a degree of romanticism with those old mobster gangster films.
Right. We almost look at it and we're like, oh man, I wish I was a part of it or something.
Right.
But in reality, you really don't.
Everybody wants to be a made man.
Right. Actually, Sopranos had a good line. Everybody wants to be a gangster until gangster stuff needs to be done.
Yeah.
And it kind of hits on that theme towards the end of the movie as he kind of looks back in his life. Frank Sheeran, he looks back on his life and he's like, You know, I don't know if it was all, you know, worth it in the end.
It sounds like an interesting complication that I would appreciate, because that is one of the concerns that I had heard voiced about the film, was that it's just another mobster film. And that was one of the things in the back of my mind, like, all right, how many of these can Scorsese churn out? But it seems like from what you're describing it, it adds a little wrinkle there at the end that makes it a little bit different.
Right. And I hate to say this, but I kind of feel like this is the end. I mean, I you know, not just the fact that, you know, you have Pacino who's 78, Pesci in his 70s, you know, all these wonderful actors that are getting up there in age, but also just the tone of the film felt like this was kind of like the perfect...
It was like a swan song.
Yeah, it was like the perfect ending to Scorsese's mafia movie career.
It sounds like he's fed up with film in general, so it might be.
Yeah.
Thank God he had that Marvel de-aging tech, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Nobody's going to mention that.
Oh, good. You got to get that one last.
Nobody's
going
to mention that one. Would the movie have happened without Marvel? Thank you very much.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
But anyway.
The point is I think if you're even remotely, if you liked Goodfellas and Casino and Scorsese movies, you have to check it out. I know it's 3.5 hours. I know it's a huge chunk of time.
It's just so tough. It's at the top of my queue, and I'm trying to find a minute to watch it, and it's just every time I go on Netflix, it's like,
yeah,
it's like
a long runtime.
I look at the clock and I'm like, it's 8:30. If I start this now, it's gonna be
midnight.
It's gonna be midnight.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you have to start it. Like you basically have to watch while eating dinner if you want to finish at a reasonable hour.
Yeah,
you know.
So I know that's a problem, but I think it's well worth your time. There's also a suggestion. I forget what newspaper or article it is, but I'm sure you can just Google it. But there is a way, somebody broke it down, that you could split up into 4 segments.
So a miniseries.
Yeah, you could make it, you could turn it into your own miniseries.
So I was telling Rich before the show, I love miniseries now.
Right. And it works well, too, because each episode, for lack of a better word, has a theme to it.
Okay.
So it actually does work out that way. I forgot what the article's called off the top of my head, but I'm sure if you just Google it,
Tarantino re-released Hateful Eight like that.
Right, yeah.
I think on Netflix,
yeah,
he did that.
And he put it like put it more in a miniseries than a movie.
Scorsese, take note, man.
So, but you know, the point is you can do it on your own, too.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait for Scorsese to do it. But nevertheless, I'd say go check it out. It's worth your time. I enjoyed every second of it. And actually, it's already getting good press and award nominations. Pacino and Pesci both got nominated for a Golden Globe for it already.
Nice.
So it's, you know, if you don't believe me, if you think I'm being too much of a homer, it does have some objective praise for it as well. All right, speaking of Homer, being a homer and everything like that, I think that's a good transition into some sports news, because we got to talk some Philly sports in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Oh, yeah. But before we get into Philly sports, let's do the two-minute drill. And I already knew this was going to be a topic we're going to have to talk about. So I wonder if we can finish it in 2 minutes or less. Mike, jump into it.
All right. This week in the two-minute drill, we got one big story. And that's, of course, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are back in the spotlight, but not for their close loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. Rather, for Spygate Part 2. That's right, folks. A Patriots video crew was caught filming...
It is happening again.
Yes.
I feel like Twin Peaks.
Okay.
It is happening again.
I don't get the reference, but yeah.
Like the whole tagline for every season.
Well, it is happening again, because a video crew was caught filming the Cincinnati Bengals field from the press box during the Bengals game. Reports accused the videographer of focusing on the Bengals sideline for 8 minutes, which violates league rules. The Patriots actually admitted that they broke league rules, but they claimed that it was unintentional, as the video crew was filming content for the Patriots website. Bill Belichick, of course, denies any involvement or knowledge of the incident. If this all sounds familiar, it's because it is strikingly similar to what happened in 2007 when the Patriots were caught filming the New York Jets and were docked a first-round pick as a consequence. Rich?
It's almost word-by-word the same incident.
Yeah, just 12 years later. Do you think there's going to be consequences for the Patriots? Do you think there's going to be more consequences this time?
I would imagine so. Roger Goodell does not want anything to ruin the integrity of these games. And if this is legit... that the Patriots are getting an unfair advantage, a la the original Spygate, I'd have to think there's going to be another first-round draft pick forfeited.
Yeah. You know, it just baffles my mind that one, they would do this again, and that they would do it with the Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals aren't that
like,
difficult.
Why not a tough opponent? Why not a division rival or something? They're going...
They got the Bills to close out the season. I think they'd do something like that against them.
So part of me thinks that either they were just really sloppy and they've been doing this with everyone and they just happened to get caught with the Bengals, or it really was unintentional. Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. Either way, I don't trust the Patriots. Boo, Boston. There you go. 2 minutes or less.
There you go.
One big topic, 2 minutes or less, right there. All right, but now going back to local Homer news, the Eagles, if you went to sleep, guess what? We got a surprise for you. Somehow the Eagles pulled out a win against the New York Giants, 23-17 in overtime in a weird and wild rainy Monday Night Football matchup. And that pretty much sums up the way I feel.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, it was a much needed win, but the theme for me this season has always been, to what end? God, I'm already going to put a downer on it, but like, the division is still very much within reach, but you guys know my opinions now. 15 weeks into the season. If we go 8-8, 7-9 and make the playoffs and just get completely smacked around by one of these, you know, 12-13 win teams that are going to be in the wild card, what's the point?
Well, my disappointment in this game was the fact that at one point the Eagles were down 17-3 to the Giants.
Yeah, two win team.
Like, that's embarrassing.
We're winning, but we're not good.
Yeah. Like, for lack of a better word, this team is obviously sucks and is just not gelling. There's no reason why they should have been down by two touchdowns to a two-win team.
Yeah.
I don't care who's in. I don't care if it's Eli Manning. I don't care if it's a division rival. The fact is, this Giants team entering this game was 2-10.
Right.
All right.
These are the types of games you're supposed to, if you're a good team, you're supposed to put away. But I think this solidifies in a lot of people's minds that maybe the Eagles just are not good. I've been saying it for weeks now. They're just not good. The defense looked shaky. The offense looked shaky for the longest time. Yeah, they came back in the fourth quarter and in overtime, and they looked quote unquote good. But again, this is against a two win team in the rain. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, I guess.
You know what really won the game?
What?
This defense just got gassed.
Yeah.
That Giants defense, they were on the field for more than 40 minutes during this game, and by the time it got to the fourth quarter, they were just exhausted. And they let the Eagles come back in the game, score those 14 unanswered points, force overtime, and then they won the coin toss and just marched it down the field again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a war of attrition. You know, who could outlast the other people? I pulled it up. The Eagles had the ball for 43 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is hard for any caliber defense.
But if it wasn't for that, the Eagles would have lost this game.
Yeah. It was not a good game. Let's not kid ourselves and like, oh, you know, they did a good job. It wasn't. And we have a lot of problems, even though we won.
We got more problems now.
Yeah, even though we won, we lost Alshon Jeffery for the season. So now we're literally down to our second round pick and the kid off the practice squad. I don't know if Nelson Agholor is going to come back, but...
No, he's still hurt.
Yeah, I mean, so what? Nelson Agholor comes back. Then you're missing two running backs already.
The Eagles sound like my fantasy football team.
Yeah, the Eagles are your fantasy football team. It's not that I want the Eagles to pack it up and quit on the season, but we're at that stage where we have to acknowledge what we are as a team, and we're not a good team.
So I know your sentiment is probably just to lose out and just get a better draft pick, but you know, with us now officially being tied with Dallas, is there any chance of changing your mind?
So this is where I'm coming from, right? You look at the NFC North, the Packers at 10-3, Vikings at 9-4, Bears at 7-6. You look at the NFC West, San Fran 11-2, Seattle 10-3, Rams 8-5.
Which is good because the Rams are facing the Cowboys this week.
Do you think we can beat any of these teams? You make the playoffs and what? You get to sell a couple extra tickets. You get to justify a price hike in the offseason. But worst of all, you justify bringing the same players and coaches back.
But
we see this time
and again. The front office is going to love that.
They are going to love it. But we see it time and again. This is how Dallas is in their position. This is how Green Bay ended up winning a Super Bowl in, what, 2008, I think? And then sucking for a decade until now. Again, they're back. You know, football is not for long.
The NFL stands for not for long.
It goes in cycles of 3-4 years tops. So you look at the cycle, it's over, right? We had 16 was the upswing, 17 was the peak, 18 was the downswing. This is the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. The valley.
So you gotta, Malcolm Jenkins isn't getting younger. Jason Peters should not even be playing this year. You know, we have a lot of old aging players that we are giving contracts to. Brandon Graham, Alshon Jeffrey. What are we going to do with these guys on the books now? So if we don't take a hard look at this team and how it's structured, we're going to run into some serious problems down the line. That's my concern.
Right.
A very long-winded way of saying I would rather them not make the playoffs, so it forces them to analyze more critically the structure of their team and the coaching staff.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I just don't want Dallas to make it.
I don't want Dallas to
win the division.
I agree. I feel for you.
So
I feel the same way, but
so I'm gonna hope that I'm gonna hope they lose to the Rams, they lose to the Eagles, and you know what? Screw it. Lose to the Redskins on the last game of the season. I hope they go winless the rest of the way out. But is it gonna happen? Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
No. But that's also good news because I think that means even if they do make the playoffs, I think they're going to be out in the first round as well. So it truly is the NFC least, I think.
It is. We're just racing to the bottom.
Yeah.
All four of us. Before this past weekend's game, there was a weird scenario that you showed me that all the teams could tie in at 6-10.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Obviously now it can't, but right. Yeah, there was a way that all teams could be 6-10.
The division winner could still be 6-10. If crazy stuff happened.
Yeah. All right. How about since we're talking about forecasting and predictions, let's go into our Fantastic Four picks, four matchups that we think you need to keep an eye out for this weekend with the NFL games. Week number 15. We're getting to the home stretch. Mike, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah. Well, first up, we're going to start things off with the weekly Tank Bowl matchup with a combined record of 5-21. We have the stellar Miami Dolphins traveling to the fearsome New York Giants. Rich, who's going to win this one?
I think it's going to be the New York Giants on this one.
They didn't look terrible.
Right. They're coming off of a game where they actually held their own against the Eagles. Eli Manning, you know, I know a lot of people think that he should retire, but I think he's going to...
He played with a lot of fire.
Right. I think he's going to take these couple games as like a test to see if he's willing to try one season at another team, because you know the New York Giants are going to cut him next, you know, in the offseason.
Right.
So I'm wondering if maybe he's actually using this as like a testing ground to see if he wants to play in 2020. And with that, I think he's going to really try and amp up, you know, his play. I mean, he was actually not to say perfect, but he didn't throw interceptions. He didn't turn the ball over.
He didn't get sacked a lot.
He didn't get sacked. Yeah.
His quarterback rating was comparable to Wentz's with 20 less pass attempts, so...
Yeah. So, and of course you still have Saquon Barkley. I think the Giants at home, I think that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Watching that game against the Eagles, they played with a lot of fire and a lot of passion. I guess they wanted to step up for the old veteran. And maybe the Eagles are a little bit too much, but if they play with that same intensity against the Dolphins, they might be able to win it. I mean, they almost beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, that took them all the way to overtime, and I don't know. Are we better than the Dolphins? We lost to them. So, who knows, but...
Yeah, but I knew that was coming as, like, a trap game. I felt that in my bones.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we've had a lot of trap games then.
Well, no, we've also had games that are just flat out horrible.
The Eagles are dumb. I think the Giants... I think the Giants are going to win this one. Next up, we have a battle for the AFC South. The first time these two teams are matching up, the Houston Texans are traveling to Tennessee to face off against the Titans. Both teams are tied at 8-5. Who's going to run away with the AFC South, Rich? Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, this is weird. We were talking about this before the show started, that this is the first time these division rivals are meeting up. So they face this week and then in week 17.
Yeah, that's way too close.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. NFL should fix that. But as of right now, Houston has had kind of a really bad string of performances, especially in the defensive department. On the other hand, Tennessee has just found new life with Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they are putting together a fantastic offense. He's lighting it up. And, you know, I think A.J. Brown is going to have a monster game because the Texans have been kind of blowing their pass coverages in the last couple games. Their pass defense has been not as good as you would think from the Texans. So I don't know. At home, too, I think Tennessee takes this one.
You know what? I actually like the Texans here. They have a surprisingly competent offense, top 10 in both passing and rushing. They've beat a couple of really tough opponents in Indianapolis and New England. I know they dropped one to Denver, but against a division rival, I'm hoping that they're going to show up here. I like the Texans. They get over the Titans.
All right.
Next up, we have an NFC playoff implication game. This is very important for seeding coming up and also very important for the Eagles' eventual potential playoff berth. The LA Rams are traveling to Dallas to play against the Cowboys. Rich, who do you got in this one?
I'm going to go with the Rams just because I think it's Dallas and I think they're overrated. But also, the Rams themselves, they got to win this game to stay alive in the playoff hunt. If they lose this, they're pretty much out. So, yeah. You know, whereas Dallas, they could lose this game and everything is still all right because they're going to face the Eagles in week 16.
I hate this season.
Yeah. So I think it's Rams, no doubt.
It's crazy because on paper, you look at these stats, both these teams should be double-digit win teams. I mean, Dallas is top 10 in every single category, and the Rams are top 10 in almost every single category except for rushing. I don't understand the lack of performance of both of these teams. That being said, I think that you're right in that Dallas is really overrated this season. They've dropped a lot of games. For the amount of talent they have, I mean, I know the Eagles have underperformed, but Dallas has a lot more, like, actual stars on their team.
Stud running back, stud wide receiver, decent quarterback.
One of the best offensive lines in football. They dragged Jason Witten out of the grave. You know, that defense is really tough. I don't understand the record. The Rams, they've had a rough go of it, but they're still performing a lot better than the Cowboys. I'm going to go with the Rams on this one. And finally, we have our very own hometown Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Washington to face off against the Redskins. Rich, who do you got?
Well, just by default, I'm going with the Eagles. Because, at this point, if they lose any game to either Giants or Redskins, I think that's almost a fireable offense. That's everybody on the team, no job is safe. If they choke a game to Washington this week or the Giants in week 17, that's all hands on deck. People are going to get fired. That should not happen with this team. They lose to the Cowboys, that's understandable because they've got talent. But they should not lose to a team like the Redskins or a team like the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. At 3-10, there's no reason we should lose this one to the Redskins. They also have the dead last ranked offense in the league. If the defense can't show up against that, there's no hope for this team.
Adrian Peterson is still the number one running back on this team.
It's our division. I don't understand it. If the Eagles don't win this, they don't deserve anything at the end of the season. So yeah, they got to win it. I'm going Eagles, I guess. We'll see.
That's basically everybody in Philadelphia.
We're
gonna go with the Eagles, I guess.
I guess. Well, do we have a? It's like a shrug. I don't know. What else are you gonna do?
Right. So there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 15 of the NFL season. Yeah, I know. That's the way it feels this season. It's
just one giant shrug.
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah, exactly. It's meh.
Yeah. The NFC least truly in form this season. And I think you're right, too. Yeah, even if the Eagles make the playoffs, I think it's going to be one and done. So.
Yeah. Well, we had a good run,
right.
I guess.
Right. Just please don't let it be Dallas. Please. Please, football gods. All right. I'm willing to pray to football gods. I think that's the sign that we need to take a break. But coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Plans have been greenlit to officially create a full-blown replica of the ill-fated ship, the Titanic.
Bad optics much?
Yeah.
What, are they making like an actual Titanic 2.0, like a new Titanic?
Yes, you're thinking absolutely right.
No.
Spearheaded by Australian mining tycoon Clive Palmer, the shipping company Blue Star Line has announced its plans that they are going to actually build Titanic 2.
Remember that ship that sank and killed thousands of people? We're going to recreate that 2AT. And people are like, wait, what?
Blue Star Line will create an authentic Titanic experience.
Okay. What was the Titanic experience? Dying on a door in the middle of the ocean.
They have also said that there will be enough lifeboats for everyone on board.
You see, you know you're off to a bad start when the legacy of this particular project
you have to
forces
mention.
You to say, don't worry, there's going to be enough lifeboats.
I also think it's really weird that this is just one person, like, you know, spearheading this, you
Who
know?
Who is this crazy...
He's a mining tycoon from Australia, Clive Palmer.
That's
this is literally just one guy going like, I want to build a Titanic! Here we go!
For some reason, this Australian is from Texas.
He's Australian.
Yeah, I don't know what country I'm from.
Here's $500 million. Build a boat, see?
That's what he did. He stormed out of his office one day. Boom! Door flies open. Build me a boat! And he just throws money. And people are like,
just,
what?
He's just pelting his assistant. Yeah.
Build me a boat! Build me a boat!
You see this movie? I want this one. Sir, can we get a yacht? No, this one right here on this VHS game.
He's holding up the battered VHS box of Titanic.
I want this one.
That is how I picture this person. Because a sane, rational, normal functioning human being would probably not go this route.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done sports, and hopefully all of the Eagles talk that we could get through for Mike.
It's so depressing anymore.
Well, you know what? Now you gotta be a Sixers fan. Hey, can you jump sports?
I guess. I can try.
You sound
give it the old college try.
Well, you sound so depressed.
Well, Rich, how long have you known me? The only sport that I've ever really cared about was football. I lived and died with the Eagles.
But, I mean, you know, you got to root for all Philly teams.
Yeah, I do.
And you like going to Philly's games.
I do like going to Philly's games.
You just need an outlet to go see the Sixers.
Yeah.
And the Flyers, too. Flyers games are fun to
I've been to a Flyers game. That was fun. I've actually been to all four sports games.
See, look at that.
Season.
You're a regular Philly fanatic.
I'm a true Philly fan, yeah.
There you go. So, where...
I don't count the soccer team, though.
Unfortunately,
I can't.
I think most Philadelphians do the same thing.
No, I think it's very popular. It's just I know it's a popular sport. I just can't for whatever reason. I just can't get into it.
Yeah, but, you know, for me, the thing with soccer is just it's so big. Like when you actually think about the field
is huge. Yeah,
it's huge, and all they do is just pass to one another. Pass.
There needs to be more scoring. I know that sounds so stereotypically like lowbrow American, but
It's the fact.
Yeah, I just can't get into it. That's why I've always liked football. There's a time limit. It moves quick. It's always action, you know?
Yeah. And get rid of ties. Please. There does not need to be.
Agreed.
Come on. A game could end in a 0-0 tie.
I was terrified that we were going to tie the Giants this past weekend or Monday. I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen.
Yeah, when they went into overtime.
How would that have affected the division? Ugh.
Yeah. That really would have thrown a wrench into it. Yeah, so no more ties. Let's get rid of ties. But something that we need to move past, we need to go past the sports world, and we need to enter the world of entertainment in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Awful.
How do you not know that wonderful composition? It's one of the best songs ever in the 1970s. How do you not know the classic Bee Gees?
You make me wanna.
No, I don't like.
Okay.
Why is that happening? Okay, what is this?
Actually, I'm lying to you, of course. So I got to share this prank that went viral the past week. A user on Twitter, his title is Archie Henderson.
Okay.
His username is @JazzEmu.
JazzEmu?
Yeah.
That's a great name.
He came up with this hilarious prank where he claimed he was going to share with his tweets popular music of certain eras.
Okay.
And so at first he started out serious. So at first he actually did like the 90s, Mambo Number 5.
Okay.
And like actually started serious. And then he switches to 1970s and claimed that was the Bee Gees' famous song, Ha! That's it. That was the name of the song.
That last one is like glass shattering.
Yeah. And the sad part is I think a lot of people believed it because like they were tweeting like, oh, I guess I never heard this song from the Bee Gees.
Oh, my gosh.
So it went viral quickly about how he was able to pull this off. And then a couple tweets later, it became obvious that it was all a prank. He mentions another one. He claims the most popular song in 1930s is this Disney behind the scenes track behind Sleeping Beauty.
I'm waiting for a prince to kiss me. Long consensually.
And accurate, too.
Yeah, very accurate. I know it's a joke, but that's pretty damn accurate.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, no lie. And then it goes even further back to the 1580s.
Yes. Okay.
And I love this. It claims that Cher actually went back in time, and this song is called Oh No, I Actually Turned Back Time.
I can't believe that worked. I only read the wiki how.
I can't believe that worked. That's amazing. Oh my God. If you could turn back time. Yeah.
I can't believe that worked.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
And then, of course, apparently Cher activates the machine again because she now turns up in the year 660 and she's pronounced Queen of the Byzantine Empire.
Okay.
All hail the new queen.
So
oh
there you go.
God.
The full story completed.
I know. Oh, the way he made like a little narrative there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That Cher one, that really got me.
Yeah, that's the best one.
I can't believe that worked. Oh my God.
You're going to be using that now. Yeah. Whenever,
and you got to sing it in the Cher voice. I can't believe that worked. How did that work?
So there you go. If you want to check out the full list of songs, go to find Archie Henderson on Twitter or his handle Jazz Emu, and you can listen to all the fake music that he created for each time span, including the hidden track, the hidden story that Cher actually went back in time.
I can't believe that worked.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So, there you go. And that's your random sound clip of the week. All right, now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend with new movies and TV and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I can't believe that worked.
All right, so there you go.
Well, you know what? People aren't going to believe this one worked in movies this week. Uncut Gems is a new crime drama starring Adam Sandler. That's right.
What?
The actor known for notoriously bad comedies is taking on a dramatic role, and get this, is getting legitimate Oscar buzz as lead actor.
Oh, good for you.
It's true. It's true. I've been seeing a lot of great press about this movie, and it seems really interesting. Sandler plays a person named Howard Ratner, a quote, charismatic New York City jeweler, always on the lookout for the next big score. When he makes a series of high-stakes bets that could lead to the windfall of a lifetime, Howard must perform a precarious high-wire act balancing business, family, and encroaching adversaries on all sides in his relentless pursuit of the ultimate win, end quote. It has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 92 Metacritic score, making it one of the year's highest-rated movies.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself!
It's true. Okay. We might see Adam Sandler have a nomination for Best Lead Actor in a dramatic role. Have you ever seen Love Rain Over Me with Adam Sandler?
No.
Where he plays a widower who lost family in the 9/11 attacks. He does have the ability to do it. I feel like he's always been typecast and like pigeonholed into this role of the, yeah, I'm Adam Sandler, you know, type character. So it's really...
Oh, shut up!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that kind of
so it's
character.
Really cool to see him branch out, and I've watched the trailer. It looks really good, and I'm telling you, the buzz is legit. People are really, really positive on this film, so go check it out. Keep an eye out for it. Uncut Gems. Wait for it around awards time. You'll see it again.
All right.
But in television, check this one out. Mel Brooks' Unwrapped is an HBO comedy special documentary about the life and career of the Hollywood icon that is three decades in the making. What began as a series of interviews in 1981 is being developed into a full documentary now. Using interviews taken over the past 30 years combined with new material, the one-hour special details Brooks' 60-year Hollywood career. Not to get too dark, but with Mel Brooks being 93 years old, fans should definitely make a point to watch this ASAP.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a numbers game, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I felt about The Irishman. It's kind of like, I think this is everyone's last hurrah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it, but this might be Mel Brooks' last time that he appears in any sort of, you know, feature-length feature.
Yeah.
So go check it out. Mel Brooks Unwrapped, coming to HBO. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. A couple of quick video game hits, because we didn't quite have new video games get released, but we did have video game news that happened.
Yes, we did, and this is very exciting news for the both of us. We're going to start off with the big one. 2K Games announced that a new BioShock game is officially in development by a new studio, Cloud Chamber. It will remain in development for several more years. I don't know why they felt the need to announce that. But there's no news on what the style of the game will be. But obviously, Ken Levine, who did BioShock 1 and BioShock Infinite, is not involved because Irrational Games, the developer behind those classic games, is no longer a developer. But some former team members, such as the creative director of BioShock Infinite and the art director of BioShock 1 and BioShock Infinite, will be returning to work on this new BioShock. There's some murmurs it might be a live service game, you know, one of those things that's sort of like, you know, you have to play it constantly and grind, and, you know, this quote-unquote living world. Because
oh, yeah, 2K is
very interested in that type of game. I'm really hoping that's not the case, because that is completely antithesis to what BioShock stands for.
Yeah, actually, I'm not going to lie. When this news hit the feed, I was still just kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Because to me, Ken Levine is BioShock.
Right.
You know, I think about when EA did that BioShock 2, and it was all right, but you could tell that something was missing in that game. It didn't have the punch.
Yeah. I love the way that Ken Levine came back for BioShock Infinite and just sort of wrote BioShock 2 out of the continuum.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that should be the actual canon. In my mind... In my mind, BioShock is a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's BioShock, BioShock Infinite, and then BioShock Burial at Sea.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the true trilogy,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
I think a lot of BioShock fans will agree with you. Not that BioShock 2 was bad, it just wasn't the same as the other two.
Yeah.
In terms of the quality of the story and the way it made you look at the world with wonder and feature the world as a character.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. Not just, you know, for dystopias in general, but specifically for BioShock. I remember playing the first one, and the world was a character. There was so much storytelling in just the art hanging on the walls and the recordings you find and just, you know, being dropped into this world that, you know, had its own life, and you're seeing it at the very end of it. So, and again, in BioShock Infinite did the same thing. So I feel like that is crucial. So I like the fact they have the former creative director and art directors back, but I really hope that 2K doesn't try to nickel and dime and monetize this. Yeah, I know, and you're already looking nervous.
Yeah.
I know. That's the modern state of games.
Right. So you know? Unfortunately, I'm not really that – actually, I'm actually not that thrilled by this news.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. In development for several more years. I think it's odd they announced that the way they did. They're like, yeah, we're doing it, but it's going to be like – 5 years until you see it. It was a very strange... They probably did it for investors and stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, yeah, we're going to be working on this. You know, invest.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes.
Right.
The next bit of news is much closer than the announced BioShock game. Sony and Major League Baseball announced that the PlayStation exclusive MLB The Show, which is one of the best... I think it's actually the only baseball game out there. As far as I know, I might be totally wrong there, but I know it's widely regarded as one of the best.
Probably 2K or EA have one of their own.
But for all intents and purposes, everybody that plays baseball games likes the MLB show. The Show. But guess what? A lot more people are going to have a chance at it because this Sony exclusive will be going multi-platform in 2021. Here's the thing, though. They're not switching developers. It's still a Sony-owned developer. It's still Sony's game that they're publishing and developing, but because of this new deal with Major League Baseball, Sony is now going to be putting out their first multi-platform title in 2021 with the new generation of consoles. This is kind of exciting news because you remember, you know, several months ago, we talked about Xbox putting some of their platformers on Nintendo, and now Sony is being, people are wondering whether Major League Baseball is strong-arming them into going multi-platform or not in order to keep the license. We'll see. But now you have these two major publishers not afraid to put their exclusive games on other platforms. And that's really exciting and really interesting. And it just goes to show you the power of software over hardware in this next coming generation of video games. Yeah. That's where the money is.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a stark difference because, you know, that used to be having a console exclusive game used to be like a selling point to sell your console. You know, obviously back in the 90s, it was Sonic was on Sega.
Sonic versus Mario.
Yep. Had Nintendo, and that was pretty much it. You had to deal with it. But now these video game manufacturers are starting to realize that it's more beneficial to get your title out to as many platforms as possible.
Think of it this way. With a sports game, microtransactions. Sony and Major League Baseball can make a lot more money if they're selling, you know, uniform packs and player downloadable content on three consoles instead of just one. And right. That's where the key is that, yes, it would be a great system seller for Sony, but it's going to make them a lot more money in the long run with all the microtransactions across three consoles instead of one. And this didn't make the rundown, but I saw an interesting rumor circulating on Reddit that Halo might come to the Nintendo Switch.
There you go. Another one.
Some very reliable sources are teasing it. Now, take that with a huge, massive salt lick grain of salt, but that's what the current rumor mill is suggesting. But Xbox wants to go that way. They want to focus on services. If you pay $60 a year for Xbox Live and you only play that one game, Halo, on your Switch, they're still coming out ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's just whoever figures out that Netflix of games first is going to run away with the future generations.
Yep.
So very interesting stuff to keep an eye on. Some quick hitting stories in the world of video games. But the big news in entertainment is some new trailers that dropped the past week.
Yes.
Very exciting stuff.
And they affect pretty much two of our favorite film franchises. Let's do Bond first. Get that out of the way.
Yeah.
No Time to Die. Bond 25.
Yep.
And probably the last Bond outing for Daniel Craig.
He's, what, the longest running Bond and also has the most movies now, I think.
The longest tenure.
Okay, longest tenure.
Yeah, because if you remember Roger Moore and Sean Connery, they popped them out like once every other year.
Okay.
Sean Connery's up to... Sean Connery has six, and then the unofficial one that he did, and Roger Moore has seven, I think, if I remember correctly off the top
Daniel
of my head.
Daniel Craig is still up there, though, isn't he?
This will be his fifth outing, so he's up there, but he doesn't have...
Really? Only five?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been more than that.
No, nope.
I guess because he's been doing it so long.
Right.
It feels okay.
And I'll tell you what, he does a lot more in his movies, you know?
What do you mean in terms of like...
The stunts.
The stunts and the acting. Yeah. And yeah.
I mean, no offense, Roger Moore didn't do any stunts in his movies. I mean, that's why I always call Roger Moore the lovey-dovey Bond. He was all about the romance scenes and that was it.
Yeah, I know. Daniel Craig's movies have been really like action-packed.
Yeah.
Crazy stunts and...
Because they're a reaction to the Bourne franchise.
Right.
That's what I always like to get into this. The Bond movies are great because they are a reaction to whatever's popular at the time. And
yeah, you've mentioned that before.
And the casting of Daniel Craig and the style of his movies are a clear reaction to the success of the Jason Bourne franchise.
Right, the over-the-top, like, super
gritty,
soldier spy action sequences. Yeah.
Right.
So
anyway, that's a little side thing that I like to always... propose.
This trailer had a couple of interesting reveals in it. They showed off for the first time the female 00 agent, and of course me, with my lack of any sort of real research, doesn't know her name.
Oh yeah, the
Whoops.
Actual
yeah
yeah
let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh my gosh, I hate myself right now.
Well, so I'll tell you, I like the line.
Lashana Lynch,
she has the line where she says stay in your lane, and I was like, wow, that's kind of hitting the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
You know?
She had another line where she's like, I won't hesitate to put a bullet in your knee or something.
Yeah.
The good one.
Right.
You know, so she's taking the piss out of James Bond. I thought she was really cool in the trailer. And I hope that alleviates a lot of people were getting upset. And I was like, let's just wait. Let's just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I think the immediate backlash was because a lot of people saw the headline and were worried that like she was actually taking over,
right? But
the
even
franchise.
Still, so what? You know?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that was like. I think people thought it was going to be like, oh, she's going to be the protege. Here we go. And we're going to hand the torch off to her. Like,
right.
No, it isn't going to be like that.
I think the way, now, of course, it's just a trailer, but the way that it's framed, it seems like James Bond has been out of it. They think he's dead retired, or gone or whatever. Something. And like this woman, Lashana Lynch, Nomai, is like the new hot stuff 00 agent that MI6 is using.
Right. So it's going to be interesting to see how she fits into this whole scheme. Also, it teased that Blofeld is still going to have some sort of role in it, because there's a cut to a quick pan shot where Daniel Craig's in the same room as Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz is back. It also showed off Rami Malek as one of the villains. So there's a lot of great stuff packed into this trailer.
Yeah,
and it seems like a very like heavy movie. It seemed very dramatic.
Well, if this is going to be the one that Daniel Craig gets sent off with, I hope so.
Yeah.
And it would match his pattern so far. He does this pattern where it's like Casino Royale, great movie. Quantum of Solace, meh. Skyfall, great movie. Spectre, meh.
Yeah.
It goes back and
forth. So this one is going to be, it seems more in tone with Skyfall, like a more serious, dramatic, like it has a lot of interesting wrinkles to it.
Yeah.
It's not just a straight up Bond movie. It doesn't seem, now I'm not that huge a fan, so maybe you can speak to it more, but it doesn't seem like a traditional straight up Bond film. It seems like there's more meat and substance
seems like,
to the story.
It seems like it's more Skyfall. Yeah. And in my opinion, that's great. I love Skyfall. It is funny. I've talked to fellow Bond fans, and actually some people did not like Skyfall because it doesn't follow the typical Bond template.
That's what makes it interesting to me.
So it depends on where you fall. Some people love the template. Some people don't want you to go too far from the template. On the other hand, I think Skyfall was brilliant, and if you're telling me that this movie is more like Skyfall, I'm in.
Yeah. Some people definitely, when they watch Bond, they want that male power trip fantasy.
Right.
You know, they want to be Bond, and so they want to like get into those shoes, and it's just like it's a power trip. It's a fantasy thing, you know? For me, I want a great story. I want complicated characters. I want something different. I don't want the formula. And so Skyfall was great for me, and this looks like it could be similar, so I'm really excited for this. This trailer sold me on it more than previous Bond movies.
All right, so there you go. We're looking forward to Bond 25, No Time to Die.
But I think the really big trailer we're both looking forward to.
Yeah,
this is the exciting one.
This one turned our heads.
Oh, boy.
When this debuted on Monday. So Ghostbusters Afterlife
is
going to be the direct sequel from Ghostbusters 2, it seems.
It is a direct sequel, isn't it? In the rundown, I put semi-direct sequel because there's like 30 years between the two of them. But it is, I think the trailer showed there is a direct correlation.
Right.
There's a direct through line there,
right,
which is really exciting.
Yeah. And I'm sold by the way that this trailer feels like. I'm in on this.
A lot of people are saying it's very Stranger Things feeling, and not just because Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah. I hated that comment because it's like, yeah, you saw Finn Wolfhard with the Ghostbusters outfit in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Like that, like
what do you think of the tone though?
They're
making the comparison. Stranger Things, it's sort of like a darker, more serious, like.
But see, that's the thing. Ghostbusters is supposed to be part comedy, but also part horror, supernatural horror.
Right,
and that's why I freaking hated the 2016 Ghostbusters female reboot. That movie was so just boring humor and horrible slapstick comedy jokes that fell flat. That movie was not what Ghostbusters was supposed to be. And I made a post about it, and a lot of people were all like, oh, I guess someone's taking it too seriously. And I'm like, no, I'm just saying, if you look at the trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife and you compare it to the trailer for the 2016 piece of crap Ghostbusters movie, you can clearly see there is a entire difference of just the tone of the trailer, the aim of the trailer, the overarching where the story's going. You know, it felt more fleshed out, more real, and the one for 2016 was atrocious. And
Rich is turning red. He's getting flushed
a
here
little bit. I just
talking about it.
Yeah.
No, I mean I agree with a lot of what you said. I really, really wanted the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot to be great because I really like that cast. But it was clear to me, at least in terms of the writing and the pacing of it, it just wasn't. It wasn't up to snuff. You know what I mean? It felt very mishmash and cut together, and the jokes were more slapstick, and that might work for some people, but for me personally, I wasn't a fan of it. Meanwhile, the tone of this movie really, I think, captured, at least from what we saw in the trailer, a little bit more mystery, a little bit more like lighthearted, whimsy, you know, with the kids in it. And it just it just felt like it had more heart. You know what I mean? I guess it's not fair to judge an entire movie versus a 2-minute trailer, because lots of trailers can make movies look great and they end up being terrible. But it just felt like there was more heart in it compared to what I know came out in 2016. Felt very just by the book, very slapsticky. It really didn't try to push the boundaries, at least in my opinion. So all that said, I'm really looking forward to this new Ghostbusters. It also helps that it has a direct tie-in with the other two movies. I think that the 2016 version suffered because it was so removed from everything. You know, they had the cameos of the original actors, but, you know, it was very clear that the production team was just left out there to die. You know, they didn't really get any sort of support, it seemed. Whereas in this one, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson are reprising their original characters.
That's going to be interesting to see.
It's clear, unfortunately, that Sony put a lot more effort and care into this one, but hopefully that will pay off in the way of a really good movie. Hopefully.
Right.
We'll see.
But I'll tell you what, I have more faith in this one than I do going into the 2016 one.
I mean, it's clear to me they're putting a lot more effort into this one.
Yeah.
With the casting and the people that are involved. I mean, they have Reitman's son doing the screenplay and directing, I think. So it's clear that I think Sony is doing it, that they care a lot better. They care a lot more about this one than they did with the 2016 version.
Having this new Ghostbusters trailer coming out, it did resurface some old feelings and chaos from the 2016 reboot fiasco. And this old quote from Leslie Jones on Twitter from January went back to the spotlight. So she tweeted about this in January when the announcement came out that Jason Reitman was going to do a Ghostbusters 3, essentially Ghostbusters 3 sequel to the main two movies. She said, quote, "So insulting, like F us, we didn't count. This is like something Trump would do. Gonna redo Ghostbusters with better with men will be huge. Women ain't Ghostbusters. Oh, so annoying." And she had a chance to, you know, be like, do you want to take that back, or do you want to just re-edit your comments? And she essentially just ignored that question. And I feel betrayed by Leslie Jones. I do. I was one of those. I liked her on Saturday Night Live, so I was kind of in her corner. But then when I saw the 2016 reboot, I was like, no, this is objectively a bad movie. I did not like the comedy in it. I thought it was really odd. She was playing like an over-the-top, stereotypical, angry black woman. No offense.
Yeah, I didn't like the writing of like, her character or any of the characters in that movie.
She is, I mean, really, they pigeonhole into her with that character in that movie.
Yeah.
And
I think they did a disservice to that cast.
Yeah.
They did. With that
totally.
Script. I think it's a shame that...
And yeah. I can't believe she's willing to die on that hill in light of seeing this trailer. To me, if you cannot see the difference... Again, I'm going to go back to the two trailers. If you cannot see the difference between the atrocious 2016 Ghostbusters trailer when that came out versus this Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, and you cannot see how it is far and beyond a better scope, a better feeling, a better a better goal in mind of where the story's going to go. And if you can't understand why that is objectively that this one is objectively better than the 2016 trailer, I have no hope with you. Then I'm not going to be able to change your mind on it.
And to be clear, you're talking just about the trailers, because obviously the movie hasn't come out yet. But
do you remember the 2016 trailer? It is atrocious.
I don't remember the trailer. Yeah. I remember the...
That's the one you actually see Leslie Jones going, "The power of Petty compels you."
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, boy, you really got me with that.
Yeah, hold on.
You're starting to remember how bad it is, aren't you?
No, well, I remember the movie. I'm remembering a lot of scenes from the movie, and here's my take on it. I get the emotion of where Leslie Jones is coming from. I get that she feels, and remember, this was back in January, so this is like bringing up old stuff, but I get where she came from with the initial comment that she was, you know, hurt that they felt like they got a raw deal. Which I think they did. I think that Sony really didn't. They did a bad job with that movie. They didn't. I don't think they tried to make it good. There's no way that script goes in front of producers and directors and they're like, "Yeah, this is a good script." Like where's the quality control? You know what I mean? So I feel
if you're gonna try and focus the light of where the blame's going to be put on. Yeah, put it on Sony, put it on Paul Feig, because he's the director of it. He should have...
Absolutely. So yeah. I understand the emotion of where she's coming from. That being said, you also can't fault Sony and Jason Reitman for wanting to take it in a different direction, given the critical and commercial non-success of the 2016 movie. You know what I mean? Like, I understand where the emotion's coming from, but you have to look at it logically and say, like, okay, it wasn't a great film, you know, unfortunately, so they're going to take it in a different direction. That's the way the movie industry works, unfortunately. You know, it's you can't invest over $150 million into a movie and get the type of return that they did on that movie. Now, there are a lot of other extenuating circumstances. I think a lot of people disliked it just because it was a female cast, and I disagree wholeheartedly with that segment of the movie going public. But it also was objectively not a great movie. They did stereotype the characters, and the characters didn't have a great script to work with and a very lackluster story, and it felt like it was rushed and cobbled together. And you know what annoyed me the most? This is going to be a weird side tangent. Go back and watch Kate McKinnon's lines. It feels like they were recorded separately and like cut in. Like every time her character spoke, it was hard cut to her character, hard cut back to the rest of the scene. There was no like ebb and flow to it. It felt like, I get what they probably did was they had her ad lib a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
And they picked the best one. That's not uncommon, but it felt very jarring because she felt removed from every conversation except for her one-liners. And to speak only in one-liners, like, there were a lot of mechanical issues that I had with that movie.
Yeah. Also, Kate McKinnon, a lot of her jokes, if I remember correctly, are like, just like, it's her trying to be as outlandish as possible.
Yeah. Again, the script did such a disservice to those.
That can work like once in a while, like Anchorman, like you know when Brick says like, "I ate your chocolate squirrel" or something like that. You know, it's like okay, every once in a while that works. But if that's your backbone for every single time we see you on the screen, it gets old fast.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's funny you mentioned that because I remember the first time I watched that, I was like, I don't
her dialogue felt so off.
And I love Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, she's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm not, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I think.
It was one of the rare cases where I went into a movie and I had heard all the negative buzz and I was really hoping people were wrong. Like, I really wanted that cast to do well. But Sony and the directors and the writers and everything just really, really did a disservice to that cast and crew.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said.
So Leslie Jones, be mad at those people. Don't be mad at the new Ghostbusters.
Right.
Movie.
Right. And that's what I think I'm getting at. I understand the emotion, but I think you have to also be realistic about the state of Hollywood, the state of 21st century Hollywood. It is what it is. But I don't want to focus too much on the controversy. I want to focus on the positives here. the new trailer looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
And it looks like, I don't know, was that Slimer in the trailer that they were chasing in the Ecto-1? I mean, there's so much there.
It's got to be Slimer.
It's got to be Slimer, right?
He makes an appearance.
Paul Rudd's in it.
We didn't talk about that yet. Yeah. Paul Rudd is featured in this.
I don't know what role he's going to play. Maybe he becomes like a villain or something. I don't know. Because it's one of those characters that's like, oh, that's weird. Paul Rudd, but he's not the main character, so who else is he? Type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, my mind is already, like, trying to put it together.
Or I know he's young, but maybe he's kind of the Obi-Wan Kenobi, where he's like, I was alive during all this.
He's the gatekeeper in the hero's journey
deal.
Yeah.
Yes, something like that.
But what I'm really excited about is the young cast. Finn Wolfhard, really excited to see how he does. He's getting typecast hard right now. but also, the young girl, Carrie Coon, I guess, is her name.
She looks like a spitting image.
Yeah, for everybody that's upset that the all-female Ghostbusters movie didn't work, you have a young female lead actress here who's going to be, you know, the granddaughter of Egon.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something to be really excited about and look forward to.
Yep. So, all in all, I'm looking forward to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I also love the title of the movie, too, Afterlife. Very eerie.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. McKenna Grace, I think, is Phoebe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think I got my actresses all mixed up. It's one of them.
Yep. So, there you go. We're looking forward to Ghostbusters Afterlife. Can't wait to see more of it as we head on further into the movie season. But for right now, that will officially wrap up the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because I've got some new odd news that we need to get to.
We haven't
had odd news in a while with our leftovers last week. So I got plenty of new news to get to. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
21-year-old Amber Fisher and 21-year-old Joseph Polk had a marijuana grinder with a picture of Yoda on it, and then they admitted that their code word to sell pot was, quote, stoned I am. Yeah, I don't think this is an episode of Star Wars, but interesting.
Well, this is actually the leaked script for episode 10.
Wow, 10? So, they skipped 9?
Yes.
They got high.
Right, exactly.
They forgot how to count. So this was the code for them dealing pot.
That's such a terrible code, too.
Yeah.
Stoned I am.
Also, like, are you forcing your buyers to actually mimic Yoda?
Like, I didn't do the voice. He's not legit.
Right.
Stoned I am. Wacky, is this tobacco?
You can tell you've watched a lot of Star Wars in your day.
Puff, puff, I will. Puff. Come, we must smoke. Yes.
Yeah. I could totally imagine Yoda being like a pothead, especially when he's on Dagobah.
He kind of is on Dagobah.
There's all that fog around. Kind of fits.
He acts pretty crazy on Dagobah.
The first thing he grabs when he sees Luke's little camp is the food.
He's already got the munchies. Yoda is a Jedi stoner. Yeah. Confirmed.
Confirmed. In any case, Fisher and Polk were immediately arrested.
And that's still such a stupid code.
It is.
I mean, you have stoned in the code.
Yeah.
That's like, may I please have some pot?
Yeah, you might as well just flat out said, pot may I have?
Yeah. How about, I don't know, what would be a good Star Wars code?
Moisture farms are nice.
Moisture farms? Sure. Let's go with that. Let's go with that one. Could you just imagine going with somebody else and be like, moisture farms are nice?
You better hope you have the right drug dealer.
Oh, you're going to get stabbed so fast.
This is why I'm not a drug dealer. Oh,
yeah.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I'm Nikolai Vulko. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey,
back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. That leaves one dessert course left in this meal for your mind.
Oh, everybody loves dessert.
Yeah, you got to have some room for dessert.
They've been waiting patiently, saving a little bit of space.
Yes.
For one of my favorite segments of all time.
Mike, what's it time for?
It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining, non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time once again for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And it's been a while. Last week we had leftovers.
Right, right.
So I don't know if I know how to do this anymore.
Yes, I think you'll get the hang of it.
Okay. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, you'll be fine. And this first story, we're going to Kansas.
Okay, good old Kansas right there, smack dab in the middle of the country.
Yep, and we're not talking bicycles, but we are talking some sort of vehicles here.
Okay.
A Kansas man was driving a stolen car en route to post bail Friday morning for his older brother, who himself also drove a stolen car when arrested earlier that day.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
How many stolen cars does this family have?
Apparently a lot. Because
I really want it to be the same stolen... I know it's impossible for it to be the same stolen car, but I would really love for it to have been the same one.
Their names are the McCracken brothers.
Oh, come on. That sounds fake. McCracken?
McCracken, yeah.
Okay.
Unleash the McCracken.
Right. The McCracken brothers.
Yeah. The McCracken brothers, 36-year-old Eric and 32-year-old Keith, are both behind bars right now in the Johnson County Jail, mostly on possession of stolen property, which is a felony. Eric has a $5,000 bond, and Keith has a $7,500 bond.
Why? Why the difference?
You're dumb. You're dumb.
You're dumb, yeah. The first guy, I get it. But you get the dumb penalty.
Yeah. There should be a dumbass penalty.
Okay, so so there's officially a dumbass penalty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the most logical explanation to bail amounts that I've heard yet in 7 years.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
There you go.
It's $5,000 bond for driving a stolen vehicle, but then an extra $2,500 for you being just stupid for driving it to the damn police county jail to post bail for your brother.
It's the same crime.
Yeah, literally.
Like, come on. You just witnessed it happen.
Yeah. According to cops, Keith was originally busted at 1:30 in the morning for driving with a suspended license. Investigators then determined that the 2007 Chevy Trailblazer that he was driving was stolen. So then he was arrested and processed. Then Eric, who was behind the wheel of a 2015 Chevy Silverado, was nabbed the same morning when a Holton Police Department ran a background check and noticed that the car was also reported as stolen.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go.
Family that steals together sticks together.
Aww. It's actually a really nice, heartwarming story
for
the holidays.
It is for the holidays, yeah. The brothers were just trying to get back together, you know?
Yeah, they're
I mean, it makes
cops.
It makes perfect sense to me. It makes perfect sense.
They're preventing, you know, a nice family reunion.
This was almost a Hallmark Christmas movie.
That's right. It should be like a freaking, yeah.
The McCrackens.
The McCrackens.
Christmas with the McCrackens. Oh man, that name is just ridiculous. The McCrackens. It sounds fake. It sounds really fake.
Yes. Coming this winter during your holiday season on the Hallmark Channel. Christmas with the McCrackens.
Christmas with the McCrackens.
Keith was up to no good, but then Eric decided to help him out.
In the spirit of giving, he gave that which he held most dear, his freedom, so that he could spend Christmas with his brother.
Coming this Friday at 9 p.m. on the Hallmark Channel, The McCracken Brothers.
Christmas with the McCrackens. I love it. What music is this?
I don't know.
Did you just look up sappy Christmas music?
Yes.
And that was perfect. It's perfect. That's exactly what I imagined the soundtrack would be.
Perfect. There you go.
Oh, man.
Hallmark,
so there you go, Hallmark.
Hallmark, make that a thing.
I think we just submitted a spec script to Hallmark. I think that's all it takes. Have you seen the quality of some of their movies?
Right. There you go. Christmas with the McCrackens.
There you go. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. And it's in the heartland. This would be perfect for the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, this is right up their alley. Yeah. It's hitting their demographic so hard right in the face. Yeah. It's great.
And then, like, there's, like, a magical Santa figure that teaches them the error of their ways, and they become a family. There you go. Bam.
Problem solved. And then they all get together with the guards at the prison and have a turkey dinner for Christmas.
They actually have Christmas dinner at the jail.
Aww.
Because they didn't want the police officers to feel left out on Christmas.
Right. Yeah, the magical Santa figure, like, teaches them the wrongs of their ways, and the community comes together and donates a bunch of money, and they get out on bail, and as they're leaving, they look back, and the cops are just sitting there, away from their families, on this most joyous of days. And the McCrackens turn around and say, "Hey, today, we're all family.
Join us for Christmas with the McCrackens. This Friday,
beautiful.
The Hallmark Channel." Wait a minute, wasn't that a stolen vehicle again? Ah, damn it!
That's their dad. Their dad, who they haven't seen in forever.
Oh, he flew in from out of town.
On a stolen airplane.
Stolen airplane. Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. I love this. This movie's getting more ridiculous by the second.
Every
family member escalates.
Yeah.
The next person is, for some reason, like a stolen, like...
boat.
Like a boat, yeah, in the middle of the heartland, yeah. Just grinding along the ground. Just steel grating on the concrete.
That's Uncle Eddie over there.
Yeah.
I heard you guys were having family dinner.
Grandpa crashes a blimp into the stolen blimp.
There you go.
I like it.
Christmas with the McCrackens. This Friday.
I'd watch it.
There you go. I think that's the best Hallmark movie I can create.
I think we did. I think it's gonna win some awards.
A real life story with a heartwarming finish.
And lots of wacky twists and turns along the way.
Yep. Woo! All right,
there you go.
Yeah, let Hallmark know immediately. Okay, you know what? We're in the Christmas spirit right now, so how about I stick with it with our next story? And this is a Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
During an argument yesterday morning, a Florida woman decided to take apart her family's artificial Christmas tree and strike her boyfriend with all three sections of the fake tree, according to police.
That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. So she's like, she actually deconstructed the tree, and then I'm gonna hit you with every single one, you bastard.
That's a lot of work, Rich. Do you have an artificial tree?
Yes.
We have the kind with the lights. And each section, you got to plug into the next section.
Yeah.
So you have to find the plug. You have to unplug the top section, take it off, unplug the second section, take it off, and then, you know, remove, I don't know, is the third section still plugged into the wall? Is it still in the stand? If so, you got to unplug it from the wall. You got to take it out of the stand. This is a lot of effort. And also, how are you hitting him with all three pieces? You only have two arms. Does she have one in the foot?
She's
she, like, duct tape one to her head and using it as, like, a...
She's ready to go.
Like, what's happening?
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
There's a lot of issues with this setup.
Responding...
She could have just picked up the whole tree and swung it like a baseball bat, depending on how big it was.
Responding to a call about a disturbance at a Clearwater property, cops made a forced entry into the home of 38-year-old Crystal Graham.
Crystal Graham? Like a gram of crystal?
It's spelled Graham, like G, like Graham crackers.
Oh, Graham. Oh, okay.
But yeah, it does sound like a gram
of crystal meth or something. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. Upon entering the residence at 7 a.m. Wow, this is really early.
Brawling at 7 a.m. That's a little early to brawl,
right? And taking down the Christmas tree.
Right. Already. I know.
Graham and the victim were actively engaged in a physical altercation, according to investigators. During an interview, Graham said that the couple began arguing after the victim set the TV volume too high while she was sleeping.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Wow, I've had enough of this. How dare you turn the TV on that high?
That is super inconsiderate, but I don't think it's... beating someone with a Christmas tree inconsiderate.
In three different parts.
Right, like there's a lot of stages before you get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that is annoying and inconsiderate, but wow, that's a lot to fly off the handle with.
Right? Like there's stages. There's like, hey, turn that down. And then you get louder. It's like you yell, hey, turn that down. Then you go in there and maybe you hit them with like a, you know, a newspaper or something. You know, like there's a lot of stages before disassembling the Christmas tree.
Don't start with the Christmas tree. Yeah.
Like this is, you know, this is always my thing with these stories. Like the amount of effort it takes far outweighs the level of anger you have to maintain.
Yeah.
Can you imagine maintaining that level of anger while you're disassembling a Christmas tree?
Where's
that plug? And I gotta twist this way, and like, it feels completely impractical to me to maintain that rage.
Now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
No, he did. He turned that volume up.
Yeah.
I want to know what volume was too loud.
Yeah, it must have been pretty loud because it woke her up from sleeping.
Do you really need the TV that loud that you're waking up people?
Is this boyfriend really old or something? Huh?
Right, he's got hearing aids.
He's actually like 68. what's happening?
He's got the volume set to like 100.
It is 7 a.m, you know, he's probably up and at him.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm trying to watch the 300 Club.
Oh my God. It could be. They don't say ages. It could be. He could be some old guy.
What's a noun? Too loud. What's a noun?
What's a noun? What show are you watching?
So Graham got angry, started screaming in his face. That's when she went into the corner of the room, took apart the artificial Christmas tree into three parts, and threw each of the three sections at the victim.
There's nothing else in there. Like, this is what I don't understand. Like, there's got to be other things in the room that you can hit him with.
No.
She just went straight for the tree.
I'm going to break this damn tree apart. And
you know what
it
was? She was trying to kill two birds with one stone. She was trying to get back at him and also ruin Christmas at the same time.
Well, that is, multitasking.
There's a lot of stuff in a living room that you could use to attack somebody.
Yeah.
You know, pillows, remote controls.
Yeah, remote control. If there's
books lying around, like I'm looking into my living room, you know, there's a whole bunch of like DVDs you could throw at people, a lamp, a picture. There's lots of stuff.
Yeah, but no, she went for the tree.
She went for the tree. The most difficult object to wield as a weapon.
Yes. As detailed in the arrest affidavit, cops noted that the victim had several scratches and abrasions on his face and neck. Wow.
Well, that's what happens when you get hit with a Christmas tree.
She went right for the headshot. Bam. Yeah.
Well, you want to take him down, you got to do it quick.
Yeah.
You're obsessed with this image of this person just being this old geezer just, and like having no clue what's happening. Just sitting there, eh? What's going on? He's getting hit with this Christmas tree and he's still trying to figure out what they're saying on the TV.
Yeah.
Put on closed captioning. You're that hard of hearing.
Yeah, then I got to get out my glasses.
Got to get out my reading glasses.
Got to get out my spectacles.
Oh, my God.
Graham said that her and the victim have been in a relationship for 8 years.
Ah.
I mean,
I guess they're getting pretty fed up with each other.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, she's 38, maybe he's 68.
Why?
I don't know.
You're just obsessed with
this. I think it'd be funny if this is like some old, yeah, some old
some
geezer.
Old dude.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, right. Charged with domestic battery, Graham was booked into the county jail on a misdemeanor count. She was released from custody early in the morning. So they processed her and got her out quick. So,
well, that's good.
Oh, good. You're just in time for Matlock.
Come and have some tapioca pudding with me. I don't know.
Come sit down.
I don't know. What do old people do?
And while you're at it, put that damn tree together.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there you go. I don't know. It doesn't say how old the victim is, but.
We're just going to assume that he's much older for some reason.
Right. I don't know. He really wants the TV on very loud. I'm going to go with maybe as a hearing.
He's old.
Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you know what? Those last two stories, we were focusing on the future holiday.
Right.
How about we go a little bit back in the past and go back to Thanksgiving here.
Okay.
In this Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Wow. What a way to spend Thanksgiving here in this story. A 70-year-old Florida woman and a 60-year-old Florida male are each jailed on a felony charge after they decided to have sex on a public Florida sidewalk, according to police.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Welcome to Florida.
Why is it always the sidewalk? It's always the sidewalk.
There's nowhere else better to go.
It doesn't even sound comfortable. You know? Forget carpet burn, rug burn. This is...
concrete
wow,
burn.
Wow, yeah. You're like cut up and everything. This sounds terrible.
Yep. According to investigators, 70-year-old Susan Rossillo and 60-year-old Robert Kellogg trysted around 8:45 p.m.,
okay.
Which is... that's their definition of late.
That's late, yeah.
They did this in front of the sidewalk in front of the Capitol Theater in downtown Clearwater.
There's another one from Clearwater.
Oh, yeah.
The other one was... wow.
Well, yeah, oh my gosh. Clearwater, Florida
so
right now.
So specifically Clearwater, Florida.
Right now. That's where the Phillies practice. Oh, great. No wonder why the Phillies are messed up.
That's what it is. They're hitting people with Christmas trees. They're having sex on the sidewalk.
And they're training the Phillies.
And they're
training...
yeah, you know...
They're
so distracted by everything that's happening. They're not focusing on the game.
Yeah. But Bryce Harper doesn't know what the hell's happening. He's like, why am I down here?
That explains it.
Yep. So they were both arrested on a felony charge of lewd and lascivious exhibition.
Oh, not behavior, but exhibition. Because usually it's lewd and lascivious behavior.
Yeah.
But this is exhibition.
Exhibition.
Okay. So... were they actually going at it? Because behavior and exhibition are two different things.
According to Clearwater police, Rossillo was on her back with her legs up in the air and no pants on.
Well, there you go.
That answers your question.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. so there you go. You
that was pretty simple. No, I was...
you didn't think there was an answer to that
question. I know. There's an answer to every question, I guess. Whether you want there to be or not.
Yeah, there you go. There's an answer for that one.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
So after police confronted them, Kellogg reportedly admitted to having sex in public with Rossillo.
What else were they going to do? Like, no, this is not sex.
This is a new yoga.
It's new yoga, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You can't deny that one. They caught you.
Yeah, right. Kellogg repeatedly apologized and said that he knew that the Thanksgiving night encounter was wrong.
Then don't do it. Or pick a better spot. Why the sidewalk?
Yeah. How's that even comfortable? Ugh.
Well, you know, Florida, they got gators and stuff. Maybe they didn't want to go into, like, the bushes or the grass. You know, maybe they were, you know, worried of something coming out and biting them. But I don't know.
Yeah. While Robert Kellogg was cooperative, police noted that Susan Rossillo was not. She began to scream. And that's when she said that she was going to keep calling her lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
To do what?
Yeah. So she's not actually, I don't know. She's like trying to fight this.
I go for it, I guess. I mean, they caught you red-handed.
Yeah.
There's not really much of a defense here.
It's an ancient, you know, story. You know, the guy's totally like, oh yeah, I definitely did it, and the girl's like, oh no, I would never do something like that. Why would you think that?
She's got her legs in the air with her pants off.
I've tripped. I've fallen and I can't get up.
What a fall.
She's the lady in the yeah. I'm falling and I can't get up commercial.
She fell so hard her pants just exploded off of her.
Yeah, that one.
Man, I feel bad for her now.
You know, that's it. That was the whole reason.
That's what it was. And he was trying to help her get up, and he just happened to be naked, too.
Right.
That's how you help people stand up.
We're naked.
Of course.
I'm having chest pain.
I'm calling paramedics and your family, Mr. Miller.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
We're sending help immediately, Mrs. Fletcher.
See, there you go. That's exactly what happened.
The acting. Oh, my God.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
That was the best acting I've ever heard in my life.
There you go. That's what happened.
Oh, man.
Life alert.
Life alert.
There you go. I wasn't having sex. How dare you think that?
That's right. She fell and she couldn't get up.
Yeah.
I think it checks out. I think these cops are just being mean.
How dare you? And I just happened my pants fell off.
Right. You know, sometimes you trip so hard that your pants come off. Everybody's been there.
Yeah. Come on. They were both sent to the local county jail in lieu of a $10,000 bond. Also, apparently these, two elderly people have, some history with the police.
Uh-oh.
Rossillo has previous, incidences of drinking with an open container.
Okay.
She was apparently drinking a can of Bud Light Cranberita on a public street.
Okay.
I guess that's illegal.
I guess. I don't know.
Also, horrible choice of beer.
Yeah, ew.
And Kellogg has had incidences for disorderly intoxication, disorderly conduct, and panhandling. These two guys,
man.
These two elderly people, man, they're up to some interesting adventures.
Yeah, they're really getting around, aren't they?
Yeah,
they have lots of experiences with the cops.
Yeah, so I guess it wasn't a surprise they got arrested on Thanksgiving. By the way, good time to do this. Why not?
Right. If you want to avoid Thanksgiving dinner with the family, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Go have sex on the sidewalk and get arrested.
Yeah.
Boom. Perfect.
Calls her up like, you know, hey, what you doing? I'm getting home from Thanksgiving dinner, but I don't want to be here anymore. Okay, meet me in front of the Capitol Theater.
What? What just happened?
It's like the dumbest booty call ever.
Yeah, meet me in front of the Capitol Theater. I got a square sidewalk laid out for us. Like, what? What is this universe you're creating?
I don't know. How else do these people hook up? I don't know. On Thanksgiving. What are you doing on Thanksgiving?
Well, they're coming from dinner somewhere, I guess, maybe. Yeah. And they were just so overcome with this overwhelming emotion that they just had to stop right there in front of the Capitol Theater.
See, I thought it was a booty call. That's what I was going with.
Meet me in on the sidewalk in front of the theater. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, it is Florida, so yeah, it does actually make sense.
I don't know. That's what I came up with. I don't know. okay. And okay. Another Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Lots of Florida.
Yeah. When a female driver sought to apologize for her role in a road rage confrontation, a Florida man responded by giving her a mouthful. That is a mouthful of food, according to a police report. investigators say that 61-year-old David Whipperman. And
Whipperman?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. These are the names. David Whipperman and the female victim were involved in a road rage incident. Following a confrontation, Whipperman exited his Chevrolet truck and approached the driver's side victim, the driver's side of the victim's Kia sedan. If I can read that correctly. There you go. The woman, cops say, rolled down her window and tried to talk to the defendant. Whipperman then responded by yelling, but I guess he forgot that he had food in his mouth because chunks of food flew at the woman.
Ew.
Wow.
That's gross.
I love how this isn't just like a little thing. Like, this is described in the police report as chunks.
Chunks. Well, I guess if you're actively chewing something and you're yelling, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Well, there's really nothing you can do to prevent it from just, you know, spewing out, I guess.
How big of a bite?
Other than not yelling while you're eating.
How big of a bite are you taking that they're chunks?
I don't know. Was it really necessary to get out of the car and go yell at her? Like,
you're interrupting my dinner.
Yeah, just continue eating. Just ignore her. Just don't.
Chunks of food. I don't know.
He put a whole hamburger in his mouth.
Yeah, right? Like,
yeah.
Did you have like a Big Mac and you just like put it in all in one bite?
I mean, maybe. Jesus. That's just being wasteful.
Yeah.
You're wasting your food there.
Yeah. The victim said that the chunks of food struck her in the face,
oh,
and two of the chunks of food pieces entered her mouth.
Ew. That's really gross. It's super gross. It's like a mama bird feeding a baby bird.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Why do you have your mouth open?
This is just a weird situation. She's just sitting there, like, mouth breathing, and he's spitting food into her mouth.
Like, if you're seeing projectiles coming your way,
well,
maybe it was up the mouth.
It was so sudden. It was like an explosion of food.
Oh my God!
You know,
wonder attack.
It's just raining half chewed chunks of
burger or something.
Yeah, I want to know what he was eating.
So at that point, then she got angry, over the chunks of food.
And she spit the food back at him.
Yeah, she should have at this point. She yelled back at him. Whipperman then got further angry and opened the victim's car door and began screaming at her again pointing a finger in her face. So now she's getting the sausage finger.
Oh my gosh, this is escalating. Like, what even happened? It was just a road rage incident.
Right. Doesn't say any further than quote, road rage incident. That's when cops finally arrived on the scene. Whipperman was arrested and charged with a pair of felonies. He's being held in the county jail in lieu of a $12,500 bond.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I mean he did confront this woman and open her car door.
Opening the car door, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's
like, you don't know. That's threatening. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big no-no. Don't do that.
Right.
But also, don't spit food at people either.
Yeah, that's
there's a lot
weird.
Of things you shouldn't do in this story.
Yeah.
Don't get out of your car to go confront somebody else, because then you're just ruining everybody else's drive.
Why don't you just finish your dinner first?
Right. How about just not get that angry where you feel like you need to leave your car dinner to go confront another person?
Yeah.
Just keep it in check. You're adults, you know?
Not in Florida.
Apparently not.
No. but, yeah, this is just... I can't... I, I can't believe the police report actually mentions chunks.
Here's the thing. Everybody's definition of chunk is different. It might be like small chunks. I think you're imagining like fistfuls of food. I think it's probably like much smaller than that.
But
you know?
Still, for it to be a chunk.
Yeah, that's really gross.
Yeah.
He had a big mouthful and like swallow before you start yelling. Like,
exactly. How are you even yelling?
Right.
If you've got that much food in your mouth.
Well, obviously he didn't do a good job because he spewed food everywhere.
Right. You're wasting food.
You're wasting people's time. You're assaulting this woman. Yeah. There's a lot of things wrong with this.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm disappointed. I don't like to see food wasted. I'm very disappointed.
Right. Yeah. That's the true crime here, is wasting the food.
Yeah. Come on.
I really want to know what he was eating, though.
Yeah.
Like, was it something good that he was wasting?
Well, I'd have to imagine it's something fast food.
It's got to be fast food.
Cause
no, I imagine filet mignon. Yeah. It's just this guy in Florida just eating filet mignon while driving.
He went to Sonic and he ordered a filet mignon.
You pull up in the drive-thru. Yeah, I'll have the filet mignon. And they're like, buddy, you got the wrong place. Beep, beep. It's on the secret menu.
Yeah.
I'll have the surf and turf. It's like, get out of here. You stupid. Somebody do that. Go to a fast food place and order the surf and turf. They give you a filet of fish and a hamburger.
Yeah, good luck. that really happened. Chunks of food. I don't know what the hell you're doing. All right. And we'll end it there. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we officially wrap this up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that surf and turf is on the secret menu of a lot of fast food places.
Especially Sonic.
Especially Sonic, yeah. Just go up there, ask for the filet mignon and the lobster, and you're good to go.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you got to do.
But what you shouldn't do is finish half your meal and then spew food on somebody else because of a road rage incident. You're just wasting food there. That's not good.
Don't spew your chunks.
Yeah, don't spew your chunks. That sounds gross.
Like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Chew your food.
That's right. Chew your food like your mama taught you.
Yeah.
That's right. Don't talk with your mouth full. Right?
Right, exactly.
They teach you that as kids. Come on. Come on, people. You know what else I learned, though, is sometimes you trip so hard that your pants fall off.
Yes. And you need life alert.
That's right. Yeah. For when you fall in and your pants are down and you can't get up, you hit that life alert, you're good to go.
Yeah. I've fallen and I can't get up. And my pants fell down.
I also learned that commercial has the best acting ever.
Oscar worthy.
Easily.
Hey, Adam Sandler's being talked of for an Oscar nomination.
That's
so
true. If Adam Sandler can do it, so can the life alert lady.
Yes.
I also learned that there are so many better weapons in a living room instead of a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things that you could use as a weapon.
Seems pretty impractical.
Yeah, right? I mean, look at all the remotes and the pillows and the books and the movies and a lot of pictures and lamps. So many better options.
Yep.
But speaking of Christmas, I also learned that Christmas with McCrackens,
yes,
is the newest Hallmark Christmas movie, and it's... Yeah. Give it a round of applause. It's going to be so amazing. It's funny. It's heartwarming. It's family oriented.
It's going to be the first Hallmark movie to win an Oscar.
That's right. Yeah.
Starring Adam Sandler.
Oh, well, he's going to win all the Oscars now, apparently. And finally, I learned that there is a dumbass penalty when determining bail amounts if you commit the same crime as the person you're going to bail out of jail.
I think that makes sense.
I think it does, too. They're like, look, you should have learned. You just saw this guy get arrested.
Yeah.
So they tack on a dumbass penalty.
I believe it. Dumbass penalty needs to be a real thing.
It makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense.
I believe it.
As much sense as everything else in the odd news.
That's right. And there you go. That's what we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go. Just like that, another meal for your mind has come to a exciting conclusion.
Yep.
With things you didn't know.
But keep that meal for your mind in your mouth.
Right. Yeah. Don't blow the chunks out.
Right. No.
Make sure you process it.
That's right. Digest
and
it fully.
Properly,
yeah.
Yeah. You properly digest it. Yeah. Don't blow chunks.
Oh my God.
All right. On that note, I think we're gonna wrap this up. This has been the Crisp Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to our website, thecrispnoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday, so make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right, and we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, so many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening in your world. And if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see what's happening in ours. See what we're up to during the week when we're away from the podcast recording equipment. And you never know what we might be retweeting, what we might be up to. And if you have any suggestions for topics for us to talk about, shoot it our way, and we'll take it into consideration.
That's right. Remember, odd news goes directly to Rich.
That's right. But it looks like for right now, it's time to wrap up this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.